Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, Praise the Lord, from the series Exodus, showing you from Israel's Red Sea journey how praise is a heartfelt declaration of God's goodness and greatness in every season of life. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
The Bible would say there is no one good in Romans. No, not one. Do you know who that includes? You. You're not good. You're not doing good works. Your good will not outweigh your bad. Your bad is all you are. It's not that you've done bad things. It's that you are a bad thing, according to the Bible. That's why people don't like this doctrine, because it's offensive. It's offensive to my human nature, which is depraved, that thinks that I'm good. And the gospel tells me, oh, no, you're not. Here's what you get for your evil deeds. You are going to hell. From the time you come out of the womb, you are on a fast moving train, car, or walk on your way to hell. People go there every day. It is a real place where real people go and spend all eternity there. Here's what's horrible about this doctrine too. The Bible says that you're blind to this, that the God of this age in 2 Corinthians 4:4 has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't even see the light of the truth. So you would say, well, I'm not even aware of this. I don't even think about these things. And chances are, unless somebody stands up like me and says them, you're not even bothered by any of these truths. And if you hear them, you'll push back on them. The hardest group of people to see get saved, besides family, are religious people. Some of you think because you're religious or you've gone to church your whole life or you go to Brave or you give money or you're in a small group or you have regular church attendance or you're a good person that you're going to heaven. None of those things save you. You can do all those things and bust hell wide open. That's not the gospel. Furthermore, some of you are bothered that I'm saying all this stuff today. And here's why. Because you're already dead in your sin and you've been inoculated with a false gospel of religion that tells you you're okay. Don't listen to that guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm telling you on the authority of God's word, I know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's why you're feeling conviction in your soul. And here's what you can be certain of. Not only are you going to hell, but you're going to experience God's divine wrath. You will experience God's divine wrath. And here's the worst part about depravity. You can't do anything about it. You can't change God's mind. You can't be good from this moment on. It's already set for you, and there's nothing you can do. Now, if you don't understand that, you don't understand the gospel. Because if you don't understand that, then here, why would you need Jesus? Paul says in Galatians 2:21, for if righteousness could be gained through observation of the law, then Christ died for nothing. If you can get to heaven based upon your good works or your church attendance or your religious preference or trying to be good or thinking that you're better than other people, then Jesus didn't need to come. He came because you're dead, you're blind, and you're unaware, and you're facing divine judgment, and Jesus came to tell you the truth. Now, think about this. People will say, well, everybody loves Jesus. No, they don't. They didn't when he came and they don't now. Jesus came to those who were his own in John 1 and they could not comprehend it. They rejected him. And Jesus said this to those who are going to go share his message. Don't worry. Do not be afraid. If they hated you, just know they hated me first. If you hate me for telling you this, don't worry. They hated Jesus for saying the exact same thing, that he was the Son of God and the only way to heaven. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Some people think they're going to heaven because they stood as a profession of faith or they did some good things or they're dancing, but they've never owned the fact that they're dead, blind, and under divine wrath. So there's no need for Jesus. Now, the first time I really heard this where it sunk into my heart, I was at a camp when I was 18 years old and somebody began to spell these truths out to me. And I was beyond offended. And I remember talking to my leader. I'm like, listen, I'm the one that's led Bible studies in the cabin. I went to a Lutheran grade school for 8 years. I've been going to church my whole life. I know this stuff. Why are you telling me I need to get saved? I'm more saved than anybody here. And yet it was that week where God convicted my heart and showed me religion wouldn't save me. And showed me that I wasn't nearly as good as I thought I was. And showed me that I was on my way to hell if I didn't repent and trust Christ. And when that happened, you know what happened to me? They gave an invitation in that place. I couldn't jump out of my seat fast enough to say, this week, I profess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And my life's been changed. Now, if you are a Christian, you have that testimony. Because people will ask me all the time, Pastor Jeff, do you think every Christian needs to have a story like that? Yes. Now, you may not remember the exact date. You may not remember the exact hour. You may not remember the exact moment. You may not remember where you are, but maybe it's over a period of time or a season, but you know you went from death to life and you know that you knew you were a sinner and you knew that God saved you and made you a saint. You know that. And if you don't, here's my question. Are you really a Christian? One of the biggest tragedies, I think, as a pastor, pastoring this church, is to know that the word is faithfully preached here. At least I'm trying to do that every single week. And for you to come to a place where the word is faithfully preached and still not respond to the gospel will be the biggest tragedy in the world. That's why even right now, I'm gonna pause in my message. I wasn't planning on doing that. I'm pausing in my message because it's so important. There's certain weeks I prepare and it's more in my head. And there's other weeks I feel weight and spiritual oppression. This was one of those weeks for me. Friday, yesterday, this morning, just feeling the weight, because I know there are people who are here, who are listening to my voice that don't have a relationship with Christ. And I endured what I endured this week for you, because I want you to know Jesus. And in a minute, I'm just gonna have each one of you stand. I'm not even done with my sermon yet, but this is more important. That need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You say, why are you gonna have me stand? I'll tell you why. Because everybody that Jesus Christ called, he called publicly. He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Stand and come after me. That's number one. I'm doing it because Jesus did. I'm doing it so you'll always remember this. And I'm doing it number three, because there's a lot of people here who are already Christians that will celebrate with you when you stand. Because the Bible says there's more rejoicing over one sinner that repents than over 99 that don't need to repent. It means you could be standing here today with your mom and dad and they think, well, you're a Christian. You've kind of always been a Christian. And you know today the Lord's showing you, I'm not a Christian. I need to give my life to Christ. You may be with your spouse and say, I know I'm not a Christian. I need to give my life to Christ. But why wouldn't you stand in response to God so that you'll be able to praise him, because he removed sin and death from your life and gave you life in his name. Amen. So if that's you here today, here in Inglewood, here in Westminster, if you're at home online, you can do this. I'm just gonna invite you right now to stand. If there's just one of you, if there's several of you, I'm gonna invite you just to stand to your feet. Thank you, thank you. And we're just gonna praise God for you. For all that God's doing in your life, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Remain standing if you would, just 1 second. Remain standing just for a second. Praise God for you. All right. This is why we preach the word. So I'm just gonna pause and pray over you and then you can be seated. Father, I just pray for all those who stood, praying for those that said I should have stood, but can still stand in their heart right now. Lord, that said I was dead and now I'm alive. Lord, you did a work here this morning already. We're praising you for that. We're celebrating with the angels. And if that's you, here's what you said in your heart. I know I'm a sinner and I know I'm dead. Jesus, come and be the Lord of my life. I turn from my sin and turn to you. Lord, fill these people, these men and women, these boys and girls with your Holy Spirit so that they can live with you and grow in you for the rest of their life here and for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Can we praise God? You see, if there's no bad news, there's no good news. If that's not true of who we are, then why do I need a savior? If that's not true of who I am, why do I need the Lord to save me? I don't. I'll just be a good person. And if you go out and pull people on the streets, that's what you'll ask them. How are you gonna get to heaven? Most people will tell you, I'm a pretty good person. My good outweighs my bad. I think God's loving. No, no, no. God is loving, but he's holy and he's just and he's righteous enough to punish sinners for their sin if you don't repent. But he loved you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Praise the Lord, from the series Exodus, showing you from Israel's Red Sea journey how praise is a heartfelt declaration of God's goodness and greatness in every season of life. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
And he's just and he's righteous enough to punish sinners for their sin if you don't repent. But he loved you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you so that you could have life in his name. He paid for all your sins. He rose from the dead in victory. He's willing to come into your life. And I just want to tell you this. If you didn't stand and you say, well, I need that, you can have it right now. Standing doesn't save you. Responding to the truth of God's word does. Amen? We praise God for his incomprehensible power. We praise him for his unparalleled attributes. And then third, we do this. We praise him for his omnipotent authority. His omnipotent authority. Omnipotent means all powerful. Authoritative means I have authority over everything. When Jesus commissioned his disciples before he did, what did he say? He said, all authority where? In heaven and on the earth has been given to me. He's saying this, all authority in the universe is now mine. Anywhere I go, anywhere that I'm at, I have authority over every situation and I have the power to deliver that authority. It's not just that I've been delegated some authority. I have the power in that authority to do everything that God wants. Now notice verses 14 and following. We've worshiped God for who he is with his attributes. We worship God for what he was, whether it was 5 seconds ago or thousands of years ago. Now we're gonna worship him for who he is to come, what the future is gonna be like. And notice what he begins to praise for. He says, the peoples have heard and they tremble. Well, what peoples have heard? This has been like 5 seconds old. Who's really heard? You know what this is like? This is like a team that is playing their red letter game in game 3 of the season. They're supposed to get trounced in this game, not even be able to score, not even be able to do anything. And not only they win, but they win convincingly. And what they didn't think was possible for them to even win. Now they're looking ahead at the rest of their schedule and like, oh man, they better look out and they better look out and they better look because we got God on our side. When you see the power of God at work, the power of God will change you as you move forward, as you think about what's to come. Because they're talking about how God's gonna take them to the holy habitation. What's that? That's the promised land that he promised Abraham years ago. He's gonna get them there, but until he gets them there, he's gonna go with them in the process. They said the peoples have heard and they tremble. Anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. The leaders of Moab trembling grips them, and all the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. By your greatness of your arm, they are motionless as stone until your people pass over, O Lord. Until your people pass over whom you have purchased, you will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. What's he saying? He's looking out at every place they're gonna go through the wilderness and all the different areas they're gonna have to go through and how they're gonna have to get in the promised land with Canaan. And he's looking at all of them and he's saying this, God, because of who you are and because of what you've done and because we've witnessed all that and we know who you are, we believe you hold our future too. Praise has a way when you start praising God presently for all of his attributes and you start praising God that you serve the God that's done everything you read about in the Bible and you praise God for your testimony that you have and everything that God began to do. You'll also begin to say, there's nothing I can walk in that can be too hard for me. The way Paul would write it in the book of Romans, Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side, we got nothing to fear, right? And think about this. I thought about this verse when I was preaching during the first service of Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 31, 8. I think I have it memorized, but I want to make sure I say it correctly. Deuteronomy 31, 8 says, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So when the Lord finishes his work, what's he doing? Well, he's walking ahead of you. He's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And what else is he doing? He will be with you in the present and he won't fail you and he won't forsake you. So do not fear, do not be dismayed. Not only are they celebrating God in the present, but they know that God's going to take them forward. So what do they have to do? They have to keep taking the next step. Where's God? Right where they're going to step, right where they're at. And what's he going to do when they go where they're at? He will never fail you. He will never let you down. He will never leave you. He will never flee from you. One of the biggest lies of the enemy is to tell you, God's no good. He's going to let you down. He has let you down. He's going to leave you. You're too big of a sinner for him to still love you. All of those are lies. God's always been with you. He's been around you. He's been drawing you to himself. And if you're a believer, he goes with you. He stands before you. He won't fail you. He won't forsake you. So don't be afraid. Now, can you see what's happened in just a moment here? Israel has gone from saying, oh, I wish we were dead. Moses, you are a horrible leader. Why didn't we just die in Egypt rather than come with you? You know, a couple hours later, praise the Lord. Moses, you know what you're doing. Let's sing to God. Our enemies are afraid of us now. God, you're so good. We fear you. You'll be with us. If you can defeat the Egyptians, who can't you defeat? You see the change? Because they're just like us. And they need to be reminded that when we praise the God who is, we praise the God who was, and we praise the God who will always be. Amen? That's what they're praising right now. They're seeing his hand go before them. They're seeing what he's going to do for them. And he says at the end, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. I don't believe he's talking about a building. I believe he's talking about his presence among the people. In the New Testament, for those of us who are believers, those of you who just came to Christ, I have really good news for you. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell everybody who believes in Jesus. And where is God's temple located today? It's in the heart of everybody who believes. Meaning everywhere you go, that is the temple of God. Every time we gather, that is the temple of God, getting that work done. God is worthy of being praised because of his omnipotent authority. Everywhere you go, he has power and authority to accomplish anything he needs to accomplish in your life. Yes, you're going to go through trials. Yes, you're going to go through tribulation. Yes, there will be difficulties. Yes, there will be things that you don't understand. But as you praise God through them, God has the authority and the power to bring you through them to his glory. Isn't that good news? And much like Israel is celebrating the Lord because they're going to make it into the promised land, even though they're not there yet, even though it's going to take them a little longer because of their disobedience, they're going to get there. In the same way, if you've trusted in Christ, I have great news for you today. You will meet your King face to face. He will bring you home, and it will be an incredible, glorious day for you. Amen? That's what he's saying. That's why we praise God. We praise him for his unparalleled attributes and his incomprehensible power and his omnipotent authority. And then we finally praise him for this. This fourth one, we praise him for his contagious goodness. His contagious goodness. Verse 19 really wraps up this song. It's bringing it all together. It says, for the horses of Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters on the sea on them, but the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. There's the summation of everything that we've been talking about in this song that they've been singing about. But notice what happens next. Miriam, Aaron and Moses' sister. It says that Miriam, the prophetess, means that she was given words of encouragement from God to speak over the people. Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, that's a tambourine, and all the women went out after her with the timbrels and with dancing. Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled in the sea. Now think about Miriam for a second. Do you remember when Moses was born and put in a basket? Who was the sister standing there as the basket was going downstream? That was Miriam as a little girl going up to the Egyptian saying, hey, can I get somebody to nurse him and bringing him back to his mom? She saw him grow up in the palace. She knew of what he had done when he had to flee to Midian. She's been watching the life of her brother for 80 years. She's watched all the plagues. She's seen all the different things. And now guess what? She's seen God's faithfulness through her brother, God's faithfulness to the nation. She sees all the men singing and she says, don't leave us out. Come on, ladies. And she grabs her tambourine and they grab tambourines and they go out doing what? Singing and what else? Dancing. Do you know those are two ways you can praise the Lord? Now, some of you say, well, I'm not much of a singer. I would tell you this, I'm not much of a dancer. I'm a little nervous sometimes to dance in church, but I do dance before the Lord. It's just not when my family's around. Because he's worthy of praising. He's worthy of singing to. He's worthy of celebrating. And what you see is when Miriam sees the men all praising the Lord, she says, don't leave us out. I've watched my brother. I've watched my God. I want to sing and praise him too. Let's do all this. And that's where you see the body, the covenant community of Christ come together in celebration. And she's leading that. And she's saying the same things that Moses said. Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider, as he is hurled into the sea. Some of you, if you grew up in church or went to Vacation Bible School, you may know the song. There's a song that's been written about this. I'm not singing it today for you, but you can look it up online. But it's just a memorable song that talks about what God was doing. We don't know if that was the lyric that probably wasn't, or the rhythm that probably wasn't what they sang to. But at the end of the day, the words are the same. And our God is the same. And our God is worthy of praising for who he is, with his incredible, unparalleled qualities, worthy of who he was, what he's done, his incredible power, incomprehensible in what he's done, and for who he's going to be and what he's going to accomplish, his omnipotent authority. And when you see people praising like that, regardless, it creates this contagious goodness. When you see Christians who praise God in spite of circumstances, Christians who are praising God when there's really nothing seemingly to praise him about other than who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do, it's contagious. When you get a church together, it's contagious. Do you know that's why it says in the Bible that one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Even if you sit here with the hardest heart and you never respond to the gospel, you will tell Jesus that he is Lord of all. You won't be able to help stop yourself from doing it. It's who he is. Now, when I read stories like this, I think, well, that was thousands of years ago. Wouldn't it be cool to sing that song? You know you're gonna get a chance to do it. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 15. This is where I'll end. In Revelation chapter 15, there's a scene that you can see from what's taking place in heaven. It says, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last. Because of them, the wrath of God is finished. These are the seven bowl judgments, the quick ones that get poured out at the end. And verse 2 says, and I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire. What did God bring Israel to? He brought them through the Red Sea. Now, what do we have in the book of Revelation? We have a sea of glass that's mixed with fire. What color is that going to be? It's going to be red. And those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps to God. In that last generation of the church, when he brings them into the through the rapture and the resurrection of the saints, and they're standing on this red sea, this sea of glass, right, mixed with fire, this is what's going to take place. And notice what verse 3 says. What are they singing? And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, and it goes on and talks about the song of the Lamb. So we didn't get to be there. We didn't get to celebrate that victory. But for those of you who are believers, we'll get to sing the song of Moses with Moses someday and with Jesus someday. Amen? So here's my question to you. How's your praise? How's your praise? Because praise is more than just an activity that you should do or activity that you must do. Praise is a response to your understanding of the awesome character and quality of our God. The God who is, the God who was, and the God who is to come. That's who we serve. That's why when we gather, we're not asking you, hey, do you like this tune? Do you like this lyric? Hey, let's vote on it and make sure everybody's happy with it. Here's what we're saying. We're saying, this is our God. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our honor. And because of who I am, I want to sing to him. I want to honor him. I want to clap. I want to raise my hands. I want to kneel. I want to do whatever I need to do to make sure that Jesus Christ gets all the glory in my life.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Praise the Lord, from the series Exodus, showing you from Israel's Red Sea journey how praise is a heartfelt declaration of God's goodness and greatness in every season of life. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.